Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we dive into the third and final hour of the program. Of course, we started off today with a 12-1 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable, presented by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer, and thank them for their sponsorship of those roundtables. We'll have another one next Wednesday, 12-1, with my colleagues Ben and Woods and Gwen and Chris. Of course, Gwen and Chris will be coming up at 3 o'clock. They'll have you 3 to 7. Now, I can tell you in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, they're going to replay our roundtable. So if you missed any of it or missed it entirely, we're going to replay it tonight, 6 to 7, on the Gwen and Chris program, and then tomorrow morning, for your listening enjoyment, 5 to 6, we'll play it on the Ben and Woods program. So if you missed it today, two opportunities to hear it in its entirety. And we were talking about the Padre infield, Eric Hosmer, Jurickson Profar, Tatis Jr., Machado. What are the Padres going to do behind the plate? And I think you'll enjoy our conversation. It went very, very well. Want to get some phone calls, and we're going to get to Coach's Corner here momentarily. But our phone number, love to hear from you. We had some great callers earlier in the program talking about the Padres, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. 0973. Again, you can follow us on our website at 973thefansd or listen anywhere on our radio.com app. And I encourage you, especially as we start opening up again and you folks start traveling around the country, whether it be car, airplane, you know, however you plan on maybe taking a summer trip, make sure you download that radio.com app and favorite 97.3 The Fan, or Twitter at 97.3 The Fan SD, my personal Twitter at Coach Contreras 44, and Facebook and Instagram at 97.3 The Fan. Again, I'll be back in tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll have a full 3-hour show, and mark it down on your calendar at 1:35 tomorrow. We're going to have the veteran right-hander, Craig Stammen of the Padres, will join us. And if you missed it earlier, a couple of notes from the Padres. Newly acquired infielder Jorge Mateo has tested positive for the coronavirus. Doesn't feel that bad, but still tested positive for the coronavirus. And big left-hander Jose Castillo, who the Padres are really expecting big things out of, pitched in only one game last year. And last night in an inter-squad game, he suffered a lat strain. And the Padres are saying now they're going to reevaluate him in the next 24 to 48 hours. Boy, the big guy got to stay healthy. Got to stay healthy and can really help that Padre bullpen. But right now, we got a lot to cover in Coach's Corner. Some devastating news for athletics at Stanford University today, and I bring in my colleague on Coach's Corner,
Coach Cantara breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan.
And we'll have time for Paul and Rick after Coach's Corner.
Okay.
Number one.
All right, Coach, let's get to it. You talked about Stanford a little bit. Let's bring up what Stanford has done. Stanford, which has long boasted one of the most robust collections of varsity sports in the country, will cut 11 of its varsity programs at the conclusion of the 2020-2021 academic year as it deals with the ongoing financial ramifications of the coronavirus pandemic. The 11 sports will that will be discontinued are men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed and women's sailing, squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling. Coaches and athletes were notified of the decision via Zoom conferences on Wednesday. School announced the decision in an open letter to the Stanford community on behalf of President Mark Tesser Levine, Provost Paris Drell, and Bernard Muir, the athletic director. The letter said that the continuing to fund 36 athletic programs was not sustainable and that alternatives such as budget reductions and fundraising were insufficient to meet the magnitude of the financial challenge before us. So that's Stanford. The Ivy League has canceled all fall sports for the 2020 season, and basketball and the winter sports like hockey that are popular at the Ivy Leagues will not start until at least January 1st. I don't know how it's going to affect the general landscape of things, but no sports in any of the fall. And it sounds like the Ivy Leagues do not intend on even playing potentially the fall sports in the spring either.
Braden, you go back to when you and I were doing this show, and it was like my first week at home, and the University of Cincinnati said that they were cutting out soccer, and you had that on your report on Coach's Corner, and I said, you know what, Braden, this is the first of many. And for Stanford, who's won, I think, more national championships than any school in America, to cut out 11 of their, 36 sports today, that's absolutely devastating. And I can only imagine that some of these other less fortunate schools financially, boy, they're taking a look at that, and we're going to hear about more and more and more.
Number two.
Toledo Rockets defensive lineman Janelle Douglas, 22-year-old with Toledo, was shot and killed late Tuesday night. According to a report from local station WTOL, Douglas was shot outside Gino's Pizza around 11:30 after police said a fight broke out between two men. No arrests have been made yet. Douglas, a junior, grew up in Toledo and went to Start High School, where he played both offensive and defensive line and was named first team AP All-Ohio in 2016. Communication major, Douglas appeared in 12 games in his first two seasons with the Rockets. Toledo coach Jason Candle tweeted a statement Wednesday morning calling Douglas bright and hardworking young man who was loved by all his teammates and coaches. A loss for the Toledo program and heavy hearts for the rest of us.
That's all you can say is, rest in peace. And, you know, when I was having breakfast with my friend this morning who's an attorney, we were just talking about how crazy this world has gotten right now. Whenever you go out, no matter where you're at, even here in beautiful America's finest city, you got to be on guard a little bit.
Number three.
Seven-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson and El Cajon native has twice tested negative for the coronavirus and has been cleared to race Sunday at Kentucky Speedway. Johnson missed the first race of his Cup career when he tested positive Friday. He was tested after his wife received a positive test. Hendrick Motorsports said Johnson tested negative on Monday and Tuesday and will return to the number 48 Chevrolet. Johnson's streak of 663 consecutive starts, the most among active drivers, was snapped when he didn't race Sunday at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He was the first NASCAR driver to test positive for the coronavirus since the series resumed racing on May 17th. Johnson is scheduled to retire from full-time NASCAR competition at the end of the season, but it's good to see the local guy out there trying to race in his final season for NASCAR.
Well, Braden, a couple of things. Number one, I'm glad he's feeling better and he can get back out there. You know, this final season hasn't gone the way that he would have liked. I'm hoping we can see him in the victory lane one last time before his career comes to an end. I mean, this guy has just been a tremendous driver, but a better promoter of the sport and a class act all the way around.
Number four.
New Orleans Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry has been cleared to travel with the team to the NBA bubble in Orlando, Florida, sources said Wednesday. Gentry, 65, has been one of the league staff members undergoing further scrutiny before heading into the bubble for the season restart. Houston Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni, 69, is among those still awaiting word, though sources said there's optimism that he'll be cleared. The Rockets leave for Orlando on Thursday. Gentry was cleared to continue coaching on Wednesday, the same day the team left New Orleans. In fact, the official call from the NBA came in minutes before the team was boarding a bus to head to the airport, sources said. For a time, it was unclear if Gentry was going to be able to continue coaching because of concerns about the coronavirus. Gentry was subject to more testing and scrutiny before being cleared to go, but Alvin Gentry will be down there in Orlando to coach the Pelicans.
Well, I'm a big Alvin Gentry fan. Many years ago, he was the Clippers head coach. He used to come on my show at night, Braden, believe it or not, get an NBA coach to come on at night and hang with you and talk about the NBA. Very classy man, one of the best dressed coaches in the NBA, 65 years young. Believe me, he acts much younger than that. He's had a great career in the NBA as a coach, and I'm glad he's going to be able to continue coaching and going into the bubble. But I'm a real big fan of Alvin Gentry's all these years.
Number five.
Former NBA player Steven Jackson defended DeSean Jackson on Tuesday night, saying the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver was speaking the truth with his social media posts, including an anti-Semitic message he attributed to Adolf Hitler. The Eagles called DeSean Jackson's post offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling, and the wide receiver later issued two separate statements of apology with a promise to do better. So I just read a statement that the Philadelphia Eagles posted regarding DeSean Jackson's comments. He was trying to educate himself, educate people, and he's speaking the truth. He's speaking the truth. You know, we don't hate nobody, but he's speaking the truth of the facts that he knows and trying to educate others, Steven Jackson said in a video posted on Instagram. DeSean Jackson's getting some support from Steven Jackson based on his anti-Semitic comments he put on Instagram.
Well, anytime you put Hitler in a tweet or talk about Hitler, one thing you can say is one of the most despicable human beings in the history of the world, so I'll leave it at that.
This one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
97.3, The Fan.
And, Coach, we have Paul, Rick, and Matt ready to go.
All righty. Very good on that, Braden. And I'm going to get to Paul, Rick, and Matt here in just a second. But I also want to give you a great opportunity. And you know, that's the cool thing about 97.3, The Fan. They care about you. They care about you, the listening fan out there. And how would you like to have your voice heard during our Padres opening day broadcast right here on 97.3, The Fan? Leave us a voicemail telling us who you're most excited to watch this season, and we may air it during the first Padres game of the year on July 24th. Visit 973thefansd.com/openingday for all the details. Again, go to the voicemail. And again, we want to hear from you, and it'd be pretty cool to tell your buddies, hey, you're going to hear my voice on the Padre broadcast on opening day, July 24th against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Let's get back to the phones. A lot to get done between now and 3 o'clock when Gwen and Chris join me. Paul in San Diego. Paul, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the call.
Of course. Hey, Braden. Okay, listen to all this Padre talk. Like everybody else, I'm super excited. I can't believe it's 2 weeks away. Hopefully the COVID-19 testing gets better so we can actually play ball and we don't have some cancellation at the last moment. But I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what I see the team needs to improve on real quickly, Coach. First thing is hitting. These guys need to stop swinging for the hills. I want to see them going, you know, nothing wrong with the double and moving a runner over and getting them home from third base for the sacrifice. Quit hitting for the home run every time. I see too much of that all around baseball, not just the Padres.
Right.
Number two, pitching. Especially the relievers, quit overthinking everything. Throw a strike. I don't know how many times I've seen late in the game these pitchers, they're ahead 0-2, 1-2, and then they lose it because they start trying to get too cute with their pitching. So just throw the ball over the plate. Let your talent get you out of the jam and, you know, quit walking batters. Number three, this is critical. Jace Tingler. I want to see him run this team. I feel Andy Green let the team get away from him last couple of years. And I want to see Jace Tingler have accountability. Someone gets thrown out unnecessarily at second or third base with less than two outs. I want to see that guy get sat down and send a message to the rest of the team. That thing every year they have, they spend too much time on celebrations. I see us last year down 9-2 and the guy that gets a walk or a cheap single in the ninth inning, they're down 9-2 and he's looking at the bench and he's doing that silly chop. Get rid of that stuff. That's baby. That's baby stuff, man.
All right, Paul. Hey, you've given me a laundry list of stuff, and I appreciate it. I want to go back to your original point, and I thank you very much for the phone call, and I'll look forward to chatting baseball with you any day of the week and twice on Sundays. But I'm going to tell you right now, the situational hitting is what you're talking about. I mean, all these guys are going for the downs. They're all swinging the launch angle, and their strikeout rates are out of sight. I mean, even Tatis, as good as he is, he hit 317. He had a 379 on base percentage. He struck out a third of the time last year. He's got to cut that down this year. And if he can put that ball in play, you know, another, 5, 6, 7%, imagine the damage he's going to be able to do. I mean, cut those strikeouts from about 33%, you know, try to take it down to 25 to 27%, and you're going to do a lot of damage. I mean, he's that type of guy, but you've got to move runners in a short season. In 60 games is short. You've got to have guys that are hitting the ball to the right side to get that guy over to third with, one out and a sack fly and bingo, you bring him home. It sounds easy. It's very, very difficult. But you have to preach that day one of spring training, situational hitting. I don't care who you are. You got to get that guy over to third with less than two outs and find a way to bring him home, okay? That's there. As far as the Padres pitchers, I have no problem with this pitching staff. You know, their starters are what they are. And if everything falls into place, Paddock can throw more innings this year. Garrett Richards can stay healthy. Lamette can have his control. Zach Davies, Zach Davies, throws the ball at 88 to 91. And Lucchesi, does pretty much what he's done the last couple of years. I think he'll be a little bit better. And then you turn it over to this dynamic bullpen. I mean, this bullpen, really, somebody said the other day on Twitter, they said they're one of the top five bullpens in baseball. You know what? I argue that. I think they should be one of the top two or three bullpens in all of baseball. But that has to fall into place by guys going out, doing the job, and staying healthy. But I do have a lot of confidence in this bullpen because you've got guys down there like Stammen, who, by the way, is going to join us tomorrow at 1:35. He can go multiple innings. Drew Pomerantz can go multiple innings. And you got a guy like Matt Strom who can go multiple innings. So it's really going to take a lot of the pressure off that bullpen night in and night out. If you have a guy go, the sixth and seventh, then you have your setup guy, and then you bring in Kirby Yates to hammer down another win, and everybody jumps around and is high-fiving one another, of course, with a mask on and in your home, I guess. You could only high-five with your family right now, the people you live with. But we got a lot of interesting things going on here with our San Diego Padres. I want to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to get to Rick, we'll get to Matt, and we'll get to you as well. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Thanks for tuning in to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by Spectrum Business. Now more than ever, small businesses need the best internet and phone solutions at the best value, and Spectrum Business is proud to help, offering new customers 1 month of internet, voice, and TV services for free. How about that? Visit BusinessSpectrum.com today to learn more. All right, we're going to get right back to the phone lines. If you'd like to be a participant in the program, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into 60 games and 7 wild predictions for the Major League Baseball season. We'll get you the hang of star player of the day, and then I'll hand the baton off to Gwynn and Chris. They'll have you for a full 4 hours. Again, we are going to replay in the 6 o'clock hour our roundtable that we had right here on my program, 12 to 1 today, with Steve Woods, Ben Higgins, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Chris Ello. So they'll replay it in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, and then bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., Ben and Woods will replay it as well. And again, tomorrow I'll be in at 12 o'clock. We'll have a full 3-hour program tomorrow, and we'll also be joined by Padre right-hander out of the bullpen, a good one. Craig Stammen going to join us at 1:35. But let's get back to the phones right now. Rick and Lemon Grove, thanks for being patient. You're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Wonderful, Coach.
Oh, good to hear from you, Rick.
Well, when I retired 3 years ago, Coach, it's funny. I found myself listening to politics. But it's like, geez, if you listen to that every day, it'll kill you. So I'm weeding myself back off of it. But, Coach, you got the greatest job in the world. You got to love sports talk radio. where else can you get paid to listen to a bunch of hacks who have never played Major League Baseball tell Major League Baseball players how to do their job? Padres, they've got as good a chance as anybody. They've got talent. I think the pitching is what'll solidify it. They've just got guys coming in from other organizations, and they just going to have to learn to gel real quick. And over the next few years, that'll show us what our road to a championship is. And I was going to throw one baseball movie at you since you talked earlier, weeks ago when we all were at home about baseball movies. There's a movie, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called The Catcher Was a Spy.
Mo Berg.
Gosh, yeah. That was fascinating to hear his story. But, yeah, I was just going to throw that at you, Coach, and say the name Curtis Burkhead.
Curtis Burkhead ended my high school career there at Mesa College back in 1976, knocked us out of the CIF playoffs, and we got beat in the semifinals by Curtis, who's still around town, still going out and watching a lot of ball games, had a great career at San Diego State. He was only a junior that year, but no, I remember it very well. I was one of the only two guys in the Falcons lineup that day that didn't strike out, but they got the better of us that day, Crawford High. Of course, they had some great ball clubs there at Crawford High for many, many years, but yeah, you had to throw that out. The show's been going great, Jerry, until you mentioned Crawford High and Curtis Burkhead.
Well, Coach, Curtis Burkhead kept the Tews family happy around here, so we appreciate Curtis and all the pitchers at Crawford. So,
yeah, no, a lot of great players, and Rick, I appreciate that, and Rick, Dad, great man. I mean, a great man, taught and coached at Crawford for many years. Jerry Tews, he was the head coach of Crawford that day when I had my high school career ended in the semifinals. In fact, I'll tell you about that. Crawford beat Torrey Pines. We were only a second year of school, and we surprised everyone that year. We actually took out Claremont. They had the number one team in the county with Ernie Beck, and they had a couple of great ball players, a guy named Tim Muser, who actually beat Alan Trammell out for the CIF Player of the Year. Timmy Muser still around coaching out there at Madison High School. Johnny Lyons, who's a great guy and a great ball player, went on to San Diego State. Ronnie Marbury was an outfielder at Claremont. I played with Ronnie in junior college, but they're legendary coach Ernie Beck was absolutely amazing out there at Claremont. Well, what a tremendous man. Coach Beck passed away here a few years ago. But anyways, we beat them, and then we beat Patrick Henry. We'd beaten Lee Guterman up at Oceanside to get into the playoffs and then beat the number one team in the county. Then we beat Patrick Henry at USD, and then we got beat by Crawford at Mesa College. And in the other side, Kearney with Alan Trammell and Jack Doherty and Brian Giles, they had a loaded ball club. The Brian Giles, the second baseman that was at Kearney that played briefly in the big leagues. But Alan Trammell, it was his senior year. They had a center fielder by the name of Eric Payton, who played a long time of professional baseball. And they got beat by a great ball club at Madison. And then Madison ended up beating Crawford in 1976 for the CIF title. Let me tell you something. There were some unbelievable players on the Kearney team, the Madison team, Crawford team. We had some good ball players, but man, that Madison team and that Claremont team back in the day, those guys, whew, those guys could flat out get it done. Let me tell you, Bob Roeder was the head coach, I believe, at Madison that year that they won the CIF title. Man, they had some dudes that could flat out play. The Fowler brothers, Brent Halenga, Steve Durgance, just to name a few. Okay, I want to move on. Let's get to Matt and La Mesa. Matt, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Good. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for the call.
So I got a question. You're talking about all these Ivy League schools getting all their sports canceled out. So hypothetical situation. You go to school here, you get an athletic scholarship for say Harvard or Brown or one of the Ivy League schools. How does that work out? Do you still get to go to school, or what? Are you left in limbo? Do you have any idea?
Well, yeah, first of all, Matt, and it's a great question because a lot of people may not understand that, but actually Ivy League, they do not give athletic scholarships. They do grant and aids. They do financial aid. But a lot of the parents have to pay the freight. You know, they can get, you know, different loans, whatever. But, no, the Ivy League, they do not give athletic scholarships in any sport. So if you're going to the Ivy League, you're going there because of your brains. You can get academic money, but no athletic money whatsoever at any of those Ivy League schools.
Okay, that's good to know. I know they got a lot of smart ones back there, but...
Oh, yeah, they do.
So is it the same situation on a West Coast school?
Well, on a West Coast school, you know, I'd have to go back and look at all the sports that Stanford wiped out, because I don't know from one sport to the next up there. I would imagine men's volleyball, they give full ride scholarships. I don't know if they have the full allotment or not. You know, you can have scholarships, but there's also a scale where you can't go over X amount of scholarship. And I don't know, like for men's volleyball, number one, what the rule is, how many you can total have. And I don't know if they had the full allotment anyway. So you'd have to go back and you know, those Olympic sports are a little bit different. It's not like football, basketball, girls volleyball, girls basketball, where if you in those areas getting a scholarship, they're full ride scholarships. But in the Olympic type sports, you know, it's totally a different animal. You try to break those up 25%, 50%. You get guys to get academic money, financial aid money. You play every card you have to get good athletes in at the cheapest price.
Yeah. All right, well, you're always a wealth of knowledge, so I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, yeah, that was a really good question, man. Have a great day and look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, sounds good, Coach. Take care.
All right, be well. And with that, we're going to head to the bottom of the hour. We got a lot to get done in the final half hour of the program. And, of course, love your phone calls. Love your phone calls. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, 60 games and 7 wild predictions for the Major League Baseball season, and then we'll get you the Hang a Star play of the day, and then I will hand it off to my colleagues, Chris Ello and Tony Gwynn Jr. with Gwynn and Chris. Thanks for tuning in daily to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .235 the time, Coach John Couture with you to the top of the hour. It'll be Gwynn and Chris. Thanks for tuning in today. We had a great roundtable today with Woodsy and Ben Higgins and Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Look forward to our next roundtable next Wednesday, getting ready for Padre baseball on July 24th. We'll be able to have all the games right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Also want to remind you to download the radio.com app so that you can stream 97.3 The Fan on your mobile phone or tablet. You can listen live or use the rewind feature and go back and hear anything you missed from your favorite show. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I will tell you this, and I appreciate all the phone calls we've gotten today. If you're into sports and really are into sports, want to know what's going on, appreciate you tuning in, because this is a sports show, and we live, breathe sports on this program. And we had a great guest earlier today, Martin Gallegos, nice enough to join us from the Bay Area, from MLB.com, who covers the Oakland Athletics. So far this week, we've had Evan Grant on from the Dallas Morning News, does a great job, and boy, long time been covering the Texas Rangers. Angels, Jeff Fletcher from the Orange County Register joined us yesterday, and Martin Gallegos today. In the next couple of days, we'll hear from people in Seattle and from Houston regarding other teams in the AL West. And the reason we did that was because the Padres were going to play the AL West, and we want to get all the Padre fans up to date on what's going on with those ball clubs. I can tell you right now, Houston's going to be tough. Oakland A's are going to be tough. Angels are going to score runs. They got to try to shut somebody down. Texas will probably score runs. Their pitching staff's not bad at all. And then you take a look at Seattle. They should be bringing up the rear in the AL West. Right now, before we get to our Hang a Star play of the day and get Gwynn and Chris on the air at the top of the hour, 60 games and 7 wild predictions for the Major League Baseball season, Braden Soprenin. And, you know, I think the more, Braden, we talk about the 60-game schedule, I think the more that people, including you and I, we're pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I'm just excited to have baseball back. They can play 10 games, and I'd be excited for it. But the 60 games is going to be very fun to watch. I think we're a little bit more excited because it evens the playing field for a lot of small-market teams, mid-market teams like ours that arguably probably wouldn't have a chance of making the playoffs in a 162-game season entering 2020. But 60 games, so everybody's got a shot. One of the bold predictions that they have listed here is 60 games won't settle things, and if you start looking at some of these predictions and over-under numbers, there's going to be a lot of teams that might be tied down the stretch in the final weekend, and we'll see how many tiebreaker games or what they're going to do in order to determine playoff seedings. And again, there was a rumor out there that they still haven't decided whether or not they might do an expanded playoff or not. I think at this point, with the league starting in 15 days, I think it's very slim to see that that's going to happen, but you might have it anyway with some the way some of these teams are tied.
Braden, the issue with this on the expanded playoffs isn't necessarily MLB. It's going to be the Players Association. If they want to buy into that, I think it would be great. I think it would be great to add the three teams in each league. Definitely the Padres. And if they couldn't get in with eight teams in the division or in the league, then we got some real problems here. At five, we still think they can be a contender. Whether or not they can, you know, jump by some of the bigger name teams and teams that people are expecting big things out of, I don't know. But with eight teams in each league, I would certainly, we could definitely be a playoff team. If we weren't, then I think you're going to see some changes here in San Diego. But it really, from what I understand, it's going to come down to the MLB Players Association, whether or not they want to have three other teams in the playoffs. It's not going to be the owners and the commissioner.
Well, guess what? It's not going to matter if the players want it or not, because you might have to do that in the last week of the season because of tiebreaker situations. If you go back to 2014 and you were to end the season after 60 games, there would have been three team tiebreakers for second wild card in both leagues. Imagine that, three teams battling out for that second wild card spot in both sides. There's your eight team on each side playoff. There's your 16 team playoff that you were looking for going into the 2020 season. So they might have to deal with it anyway, regardless of both the owners and the Players Association sign off on it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, but again, it's going to come down to the MLBPA. I think baseball, I think Manfred would probably like to see it, but not sure Tony Clark and that group want it.
Well, what happens if everybody ties? They get it, they have to do it regardless.
Well, yeah, you're going to have a one-game playoff, but we're talking about, you know, actually going into it. I mean, there are going to probably be a bunch of teams at 31 and 29, 30 and 30, and 29 and 31.
Right, and if they all tie for that second wild card spot, you're going to have to see this crazy format of three teams evenly having to battle it out to get that last spot, because that's what baseball does. They don't do a tiebreaker or a coin flip. You mean you play. So I'm really interested to see how that works. If it does happen, that's going to be some interesting playoff baseball to start the month of October.
Yeah, you know, I like the wild card. I think it's worked out very well, but I just don't like the one-game wild card. I like to see a 2 out of 3. I mean, you get beat on a, you know, on a wind-blown fly ball, a bad hop single, a balk. I mean, you know, 2 out of 3 seems to, for me, it seems to be a little bit more fair.
I agree, especially in the sport of baseball, where you can just have one guy on the hill do really well, and you can have one bad day, and all of a sudden it's your season is over. That's the one sport that you probably shouldn't have a single elimination for anything. But that was the one of the wild predictions. Let's move on to the next one. National League fans will actually love the designated hitter. Look, National League fans only think they hate the DH. They haven't convinced themselves that it's not real baseball. It is, and that it takes a strategic element away from the game. It's complicated. But besides that, the era of pitchers hitting has passed. National League pitchers batted 131 in 2019, and that's no one's idea of fun. I agree with this, too. I mean, eventually, I think I know it would probably been in on the designated hitter. I like pitchers hitting, but I think you can't have two leagues play by different rules. I think it's time to finally have them play on the same rule system, and I knew for a fact the American League was never going to give up the DH, so it was almost inevitable that the National League would have the DH, and now I'm fully welcoming the DH, as much as it would be cool to see Chris Paddock try to go after a silver slugger.
Well, there are some pitchers that are probably too happy. I mean, Zach Greinke loves to swing the bat. Bumgarner loves to swing the bat. Kershaw likes to swing the bat, but we're not going to see it any longer. You know, it's going to change the game. It's no doubt about it. You can talk about the National League and an American League. The American League's had the DH since 1972. The Players Association has been, you know, fawning for this for many, many years. It'll never go away in the American League because the MLBPA wouldn't allow it to go away. You know, they're going to play it. I think it's going to take away a lot of strategy. It's going to take away some of the small ball. But, you know, I'll get over it. I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. But I will tell you this. The bench guys don't get anywhere near the work with the DH. So the guys that have been, you know, really good contributors on their teams in the National League, they're going to get splinters in their rear end because they're not going to be in there in the fourth or fifth inning double switch. They're not going to pinch hit very often. And it's really behooves a manager to make sure he can keep his players sharp by getting them enough of quality at bats and quality work, because a lot of times the bench in the American League really isn't much of a factor.
Bold prediction number three for a 60-game season. Someone is going to hit 400, and they say, looking at you, Joey Votto, 36 years old, coming off a 2019 season in which he did not meet his usual Hall of Fame standard, all of which means he's going to have a monster 2020 season since he's healthy, excited, and surrounded by talented players. In a short season, Votto's ability to draw walks actually increases his chance of hitting 400. For example, in 2012, he had a 60-game stretch where he hit 376, and that was partially because he had 45 free passes and just 205 at-bats, 77 hits, if anybody was wondering. The fewer at-bats a qualifier has, the more likely he is to get a bit lucky in a quest for 400. They think a bold prediction that someone's going to hit 400, especially Joey Votto. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody did hit 400. I don't know if I'm going to get as specific and say it's going to be Joey Votto, though.
No, it's not going to be Joey Votto. Joey Votto's been a great player. I think his skills are starting to diminish a little bit. I think there's times, especially in the Great American Ballpark, where he needs to be a little bit more aggressive rather than take the walk, you know, expand the zone a little bit, try to do a little bit more damage for his ball club. The other thing, and I brought this up a couple of weeks ago when we knew they were going to start playing 60 games, I believe you can qualify this year, Braden. You need the plate appearance. You need 3.1 plate appearances over 162 games would be 502 plate appearances. This year, with 60 games, I believe the number is 186. So you could actually win a batting title with 186 plate appearances, not at bats, but plate appearances, walks, sack flies, hit by pitch, so on and so forth. I don't think Votto would be the guy. If he were still playing, if we went back 3 years ago, I would say Ichiro could do it, but Ichiro's not playing any longer. I'm not sure there's a guy out there that can do it right now, to be honest with you, because I think, number one, it's going to take a left-handed hitter, and it's going to take a left-hand hitter who can really run and get some infield hits.
I think a Dodger will do it. Seriously. I mean, I've seen that. It's almost like every year Cody Bellinger and Justin Turner are hitting over 390 for, like, the first 2 months of the season. So we'll see if anybody does it. I don't think it's that far-fetched to see, especially in a 60-game season, but we'll find out. Number four, bold prediction, according to MLB.com, Ronald Acuna Jr. will be the National League MVP. He impacts the game in all sorts of ways. He'll be a top-five player for the next decade or so. Look at how he filled up a stat line in his first Major League Baseball season. 41 bombs, 37 stolen bases, 127 runs. He's also a good outfielder, and at 22 years old, he will get better in every area. Ronald Acuna Jr. will be the National League MVP. You're buying or selling that bold prediction?
You know what? I'll buy that. That guy's a talented guy, and I mean, he's just scratching the surface right now. As long as he runs out balls, doesn't get in the hot water, he'll be in the lineup each and every day. He stays healthy. That guy's a dynamic player. I mean, he's every bit as good as advertised, maybe even better.
Number five, Joe Maddon is about to have his finest hour. New Angels manager prides himself on his optimism and thinking outside the box. Circumstances of the 2020 season have his name written all over them. Angels could have their best rotation in years, and Maddon's ability to entertain, distract, and convince his players not to sweat the small stuff sets him up to complete another line on his Cooperstown resume. Joe Maddon having a really good season for the Angels in 2020. Bold prediction.
They're going to be tough to overtake both the A's and Houston. I'm not so sure, Braden, that the A's aren't going to be better than the Houston Astros. The Astros, they've had a lot of distractions. I know there aren't going to be fans in the stands. They're not going to get you know, the Bronx cheer each and every night when they're out there on the road. But I got to tell you, I mean, you lose a Gerrit Cole. I look at the young guys there in Oakland. If a couple of those guys in the starting rotation, you know, kind of grow up a little bit, they got a great bullpen. They got a great everyday lineup. I mean, that infield and second base, a little bit of a problem. I mean, Tony Kemp hit like 212 last year, and they got Franklin Barrietto, who has been, Martin Gallegos said, been a long-term number one prospect in that organization. He never really got the job done, but the rest of that infield, you know, Matt Chapman at third, and you got the shortstop Marcus Semien, who was runner up for the most valuable player last year. I mean, they got a dynamite ball club up there, so I don't think the Angels are going to overtake either one of those teams. And I also think the Angels right now, they're going to struggle, I think, to be a 500 ball club. I think they're going to score a lot of runs, but their staff's okay. I don't think the bullpen is great. I just think they got too many issues with the pitching staff.
Wild predictions for the 2020 shortened 60-game season in Major League Baseball, going to number 6. There's 7 on this list that we were talking about, of course. Astros will rock the world at the trade deadline. No team is more motivated to win a World Series than the Astros. Team owner Jim Crane believes that would ease the sting of the sign-stealing scandal that has tainted the 2017 championship in the eyes of many, and he'll give his baseball operations people the go-ahead to think big at the August 31st trade deadline. He wants them to think big. Jake Arrieta, Mike Minor would be nice fits for their team's fade, but the Astros could make a run at potentially JT Realmuto or perhaps even Francisco Lindor. Nothing will be off the table for the Houston Astros. Bold prediction, the Astros will be active buyers at the trade deadline.
Well, I'm sure Carlos Correa would be really excited about them, you know, maybe going after a guy, Lindor. And by the way, did you see Carlos Correa the other day told his wife, Daniela, hey, please don't go to the hair salon or get your nails done during this pandemic. I want to stay healthy. And she said, hey, no problem. I'll stay at home right now. But, you know, Jim Crane, who, by the way, I mean, I'm thinking back to when all this stuff broke and he ended up firing Lou now, who deserved to be fired. A.J. Hinch, on the other hand, probably deserved to be fired, but I think A.J. will get another job. Not sure Lou now is going to get another GM job. But Jim Crane, you talk about a guy that was unimpressive and outdated and really tuned out to what was going on in the world. I was so disappointed. I didn't know Jim Crane from Bob Crane on Hogan's Heroes, okay? But I got to tell you, that guy was so unimpressive to me when his team was found cheating. His idea of it was basically to fire, you know, the guys that were working underneath him. He took like zero accountability being the owner of the ball club.
That was such a terrible press conference, too, when we saw that.
Oh, it was painful. It was painful, but you know what? I'm not a big believer in the Astros. I think they're going to have a lot of problems. I'm a big believer in Dusty Baker, and maybe he can hold it together, but I'm not a believer in this Astro ball club because I think there's a lot of finger-pointing going on in that clubhouse.
Last wild prediction, then we'll let you know what games are going to be the most important the last week of the season. Number 7, Asterix. Actually, winning the World Series might be the most satisfying of them all. Consider what these players have been through since February. Spring training opens, spring training shuts down. Practice facilities, plenty of players had little or no access for at least 2 months. Now a season in which an unseen opponent adds a degree of uncertainty and anxiety, and everything will be played under the oddest circumstances imaginable. So the team that emerges with the World Series title is going to cherish it beyond words. Forget the Asterix, coach. The wild prediction is this one's going to be the most satisfying World Series for any player that wins it.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you this: no matter who wins it, they're not gonna give it back, and they're not gonna, you know, give back their championship ring. And I don't think necessarily you need to have an asterisk next to it. The thing that I only thing you're gonna put asterisks on, in my opinion, is if a guy hits 405. I mean, he wins the batting title if he has enough of plate appearances, but we're not going to put him in the conversation with Ted Williams and Rogers Hornsby and all that. He did it for a 60-game schedule. Congratulations. You get a pat on the back. The other thing, and I brought this up, and I heard, I think it was our buddy Andrew Filippone on 97.3 The Fan from CBS Sports over the weekend. He was bringing up what I brought up about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't think you give out an MVP this year. I don't think you give out a Cy Young, a Rookie of the Year, or Fireman of the Year. I just don't think you do that in this shortened baseball season.
No, I don't think so either. I think it'd be a gigantic waste of time. And I agree with you, Coach. It wouldn't be an asterisk next to the World Series because you're still playing by the same rules, whereas the stat category awards, that you're not playing by the same rules because you're not playing by the same amount of games, or at least 100 games, for heaven's sake. So that,
right.
The seven wild predictions, Coach, there's a very interesting games to finish the year, and we don't have a play of the day today, so we can break this down a little bit more before we pass over to Gwynn and Chris. But last weekend of the season is going to be extra fun this year, of course, because of the fact that everybody's going to be in it, hopefully, down the stretch, and hopefully the Padres are too. I haven't noticed yet if they, you know, on the last day of the year, they usually have every game play at the same time. I don't know if they're going to do that this year or not. Do you know about that?
I believe they're going to have some games will start like at 5 after the hour. The rest will start at 10 after the hour. I think they're going to do the same thing. It's just going to be a difference of about 5 minutes of start times, I believe.
Don't want the scoreboard watching, but they ranked the best games of that weekend from 15-1 in terms of what's going to have the most cred and the most on the line. I'll get you quickly the bottom five. Tigers and Royals, probably not going to be a game that means anything. Orioles, Blue Jays, probably on the same lines. Pirates and Indians. Padres, Giants, Diamondbacks, and Rockies are all not that great of games as you move to the last part of the season. They do note in there, as the Padres and Giants come in at number 12, that the Padres will probably have something to play a little bit more than the Giants will at this point in time.
You know, I go back to what Bob Nightingale said last week on the program, and I haven't forgotten that. Well, we got talking about the San Francisco Giants, and, you know, I think you and I would both agree, you know, not, you know, really focusing on the Giants. I mean, they got an older ball club. Their farm system hasn't been all that great, and we don't really expect much. And then Bob Nightingale came on last week, one of our Radio.com insiders and a great writer for USA Today, and he said, hey, don't count the Giants out in a 60-game schedule. All those veterans, they don't have to grind for 162 games. The Brandon Belts, the Evan Longorias, the Brandon Crawfords, the Buster Posies, the Jeff Samarges. He goes, don't count them out. They could be a player. And that scares me a little bit, Braden.
They could be. I'm not overly scared. I just want to see baseball. But here are the top five matchups going into the last weekend of the season. Mets at Nationals comes at number one. You can see Max Scherzer versus Jacob DeGrom for a division title, potentially. Cubs and White Sox, interleague game, which would be fun to watch, especially with the rising White Sox. Angels at Dodgers, that one to me is the most intriguing, especially since the Dodgers are trying to be another World Series-type contender, and the Angels think they got enough to make the playoffs. Red Sox at Braves coming at number four, and Reds Twins coming at five. I think all those matchups would be great for the 2020 finale.
I just know the final day of the season, I'm going to be sitting here in my humble abode at 12:05, September 27th. The Padres are going to be playing their final game at San Francisco. I'll listen to you do the pregame show. I'll have the radio on. I'll have the TV on. And I'm hoping if the Padres win that ball game, they're in the playoffs. Hopefully it won't take that final game of the season. Hey, Braden, have a great couple of days off, buddy. Great job today.
See you, Coach.
Martin Gallegos, MLB.com, thank him very much for joining us today, talking Oakland A's. For Braden Soprano, Coach John Katera, back in tomorrow. We'll have Craig Stammen on the program. Gwynn and Chris coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Katera Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwynn and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.